CBS broadcast that 60 Minutes interview with President Trump last night, and before the president abruptly walked out of it, Leslie Stahl asked him about these comments at a rally earlier this month.
Suburban women, will you please like me? Remember? Please. Please. I saved your damn neighborhood, okay?
You said the other day to suburban women, will you please like me? Please, please.
Oh, I didn't say that. You know, that's so misleading the way I say jokingly, suburban women, you should love me because I'm giving you security.
Well, those women helped the president win in 2016, but there are signs they're turning away from him in 2020. And it's a part of a bigger story about a gender gap in voting. Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us now from Washington. Derek, remind us how important women in the suburbs were for Donald Trump in 2016 and why he's now begging them to come back to him this year.
Well, white suburban women were absolutely critical for Donald Trump in the 2016 election. To put some numbers on that claim, Trump won white women by about 9% in 2016. He won the suburbs by 4%. So you put that together, and the suburban white female majority that Trump enjoyed in 2016 really arguably cinched his victory. This year could not be more different. Polling in swing states shows the president not just losing these voters, but losing by the largest gender gap in American history. Biden is up, according to the New York Times, 23 points among all suburban women, that's white, black, Latina, other, in battleground states. And this arguably is the key story to Trump's lasting deficit against Biden. It's all about women, and notably suburban women.
Well, that difference between 2016 and today is interesting because when you look at women overall, we know that they are more likely to vote Democratic, and men are more likely to vote for a Republican. Why is that?
It's really interesting. So in the last two presidential contests, women have actually outvoted men by about 10 million ballots. 10 million ballots is about the equivalent of what Texas, what comes out of Texas every single year, say 2012, 2016. So from an electoral perspective, the United States of women is about a Texas bigger than the United States of men. And it is really important that women do tend to lean Democrat. This is true for white women. It's true for black women. It's actually especially true for Latinas. There's a 26-point Biden advantage among Latina women over Latino men toward Biden. And this is absolutely fascinating to me because this is a trend, the gender gap, that didn't even exist before the 1980s. It was only in 1980, that election that elected Ronald Reagan, that women broke strongly for Democrats for the first time in U.S. history, and demographers coined then the term the gender gap. And since then, it has grown and grown. 8 points in 1980, up to 13 points in 2016. Now it might be 20, 25 points in 2020. This is a huge gap and a hugely explanatory gap because, as you indicated in your question, I do think that in some subtle ways, the Democratic Party has moved toward women on their portfolio of issues, just as the Republican Party has in some ways specialized in gaining that male vote.
But I do want to point out the obvious here. We are talking about broad trends. I've spoken with many women this election season, I'm sure you have as well, who avidly support the president. These are also women who live in the suburbs. So it's not so easy just to paint with a broad brush. However, it is a real thing, and it could affect the election if we take a broader look. On the other hand, let's take a look at the way women and men in the same household vote. Husbands and wives, are they voting the same? Are they voting differently? And is that something that's changed over time?
This is a great question, and the evidence here is a little bit mixed in terms of the degree to which husbands and wives have been voting more differently over time. One thing that demographers see is a phenomenon known as assortative marriages. That's a fancy term for people who are similar to each other are increasingly likely to marry. That would suggest that husbands and wives are voting more like each other than they used to be. But the more important trend, I think, is actually the rise in single-parent households. There are more single mothers than there were 40 years ago. There are more 20-somethings who are single and not married than there were 40 years ago. So single women are a really important force in Democratic, capital D, Democratic politics today, because they are, for a variety of reasons, a strong capital D, Democratic voting bloc.
Hmm. To that point, how much is each political party cementing these gender differences?
So you go back to 1980, when the gender gap first appeared to people who study American politics. And the theory is that Ronald Reagan ran to the right on issues that were important to women. They ran to the right on the Equal Rights Amendment, on abortion, on working women and the idea of traditional families. So Reagan handily wins that election by moving to the right on cultural issues, thereby sorting a lot of conservative men into the Republican Party. Meanwhile, the Democratic Party, this theory goes, specialized more or focused more on those same issues, taking the other side on abortion, on women's right to work, women's education. And so the party specialized in a different kind of politics that appealed to each gender. That essentially is the theory of the gender gap.
Derek Thompson at The Atlantic, thank you so much.
Thank you.